Blessed be your holy name, our gracious Heavenly Father, our Savior, our Redeemer. We give thanks from the bottom of our heart by speaking the goodness of the Lord, by proclaiming what happened to all of us on Calvary, by professing the truth, by declaring the testimony of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day in our lives. May you touch us, anoint us, Lord. Your anointing is all we need. The touch of the Lord, the presence of the Spirit, the soaking of the vessels of the Lord, the children of God, in the water of life, the Spirit of God. Wash us, Lord. Make us, Lord. Form us, Lord. May you bless us, Lord, to live a life that glorifies your name alone. We ask for thy guidance. We ask for thy touch. We ask for you to walk in the midst of us. Speak to us, Lord. And help us to receive the understanding of the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the true life. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we commit all of our sacrifices, our songs, our testimonies, our prayer requests, our pain, our joy, our failures, our success, our weakness, our strength. We surrender everything at thy feet. May you grant us rest. Let there be quietness in Jesus' name. Let there be calmness in Jesus' name, deep inside, O Lord, for us to receive the name of the Lord, for us to receive the truth from the Lord. It's a privilege. That's the greatest thing happened to all of us today. May you bless us, Lord, to utter the words of life from the abundance of our heart, to give thanks to thee, to show the world who is the Savior by living a life where people can see Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my brethren. May be all seated. The Lord is changing all of us from glory to glory. We don't want to be the same when the day ends. We don't want to be the same when the dawn of the morning touches to wake up. Every single day, I pray that we all desire for a change. He is the same, but He wants us to change. Amen? You see how beautiful it is. He is the same forever, but He wants us to be changed, to live with Him forever. The word forever is the presence of the Lord, where we can dwell, sing songs unto Him in Mount Zion. May the Lord bless us as we change from glory to glory, to be perfected, to look like Him in our life, to speak like Him in our life, to understand like Him in our life, and to do everything like Him in our life. Then the Lord would come and tell us, "Well done, my faithful servant. I am pleased." That is our goal. That is the crown of glory, for the Lord to tell good report about us. Amen. The word of the Lord is our crown, is our glory, is our everything. May the Lord bless us as we continue to walk with Aaron, who is anointed, chosen by the Lord to complete His perfect will in the wilderness. And the people around him, and most importantly, the Lord who is in him, the Lord who is leading him, we learn from him what happened to him and why it happened in that way, and how the Lord, who is righteous, who is merciful, who is so gracious to his children, why he was so specific about the clothing of the priest of God in the wilderness. Let's turn our scripture to book of Exodus, chapter 28, from verse 29 to 39, so that we reflect what we studied last Sunday.
Exodus 28, verse 39. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord.
Amen.
So Aaron shall bear the judgments of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually.
Amen.
You shall make the robe of ephod all of blue, and there shall be an opening for his head in the middle of it. It shall have a woven binding all around its opening, like the opening in a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet all around its hem, and bells of gold between them all around, a golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe all around. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die. You shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet. Verse 37. And you shall put it on a blue cord, that it may be on the turban. It shall be on the front of the turban.
Amen.
So it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. You shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash of woven work. For Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. And you shall put them on Aaron your brother, and on his sons with him, and you shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests.
Amen. Amen. Let's read verse 30. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment. It's called the breastplate of judgment. The Urim and Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. So upon heart, Aaron bear the judgment of the children of the Lord. Amen. So let's look at the way chapter 38 presents the central focus. The whole attention was on Aaron. He goeth in, and because of what is added in his garment, there is a sound. There is a noise coming as he walks. So everything that is around his garment, it moves. It's being like put into work. And it clashes with one another. It makes a beautiful sound. And the scripture says, he goes in and the sound heard. So there is a sound that is audible, not silence, audible. And most importantly, a sound that is acceptable for him to come inside and for him to go outside in a way that he will not die. Do you know how important the very last word when the Lord said that he die not? Because he gave the warning very clearly to Nadab and Abihu. If you enter the way I want you to enter. You exit the way I want you to go out. But Nadab Abihu, they entered, but they did not return. So now, the Lord is not just speaking to Aaron. Amen? It's for all of us. So a sound heard when he goeth in. That is, the verse that talks about that is actually verse 35, correct? And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound, not the sound from his garment. It says his sound. And his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. So now verse 35, now you read verse 30 again, why he should go in, and why he should stand before the Lord continually, and why he should come out safely. Verse 30 says, when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. The previous chapter that ends with the word continually is when the lamp, the flame that is supposed to burn, show the light in the tabernacle, in the place of the holy place of the Lord. Continually, for the lamp shall not be put off. The light must be there. But here, the same is repeated, but in a different way, that Aaron must bear the judgment of the children of Israel on his breastplate, not on the garment, but in his heart. But all the apparel that Brother Clement described in the scripture, golden bells, this and that, but verse 35 says, his sound shall be heard. Not the sound from what is outside, but his sound. It became part of him. Amen. The righteous deeds of saints, the white robe, it is not something that is not yours. It is yours. You are part of it. It is part of you. Why? Because the righteous deeds of the saints is nothing but doing the word of God. The word of God is your clothing. You are called the word bride. Amen? Bride who is clothed by the word. If you are part of the word, then what is your garment? If you are part of the word, do you believe that? Amen? You are part of the word. If the righteous deeds of the saints, if it is the white robe, can I separate the word? Because righteous deed is nothing but doing the work of God. And the work of God is nothing but doing the word of God. Amen? So, if the word bride is clothed by the word, and the bride herself is a word of God, part of the word of God, then how can this clothing can be separated? Are we limited by our carnal mind? This is my clothing. This can be separated because I was not born with this. But when you are born of the Spirit, when the Spirit is liberty, Spirit is your everything, when the Spirit bear witness with our spirit, so what happens to us? Chapter 28, when the Lord said, he goeth in, he goeth out, when I hear his sound, that he may die not. And he do what I say exactly. So now, let's look at the key words. Goeth in, sound heard. Upon heart, he bear the judgment of the children of Israel, heart. Now you read verse 37. Talks about the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Amen. Holy place is consecrated for the holiness to the Lord. Verse 37. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead. Upon what? Forehead. So there are two body parts of Aaron is specifically addressed. Heart that bears the judgment of the children of Israel and the forehead. Correct? The moment you hear the forehead, you will remember the book of Revelation. The name of the Lord is written on your forehead. Amen? Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, then we can start from zero. The name of the Lord is written on our foreheads. The mark of Christ is the only way we escape everything. The blood of Christ is the only way we survive all this madness of the wickedness of the world. So now, upon the heart, he bears judgment. The forehead is linked to what? You see, Aaron, it shall be upon Aaron's forehead that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. Last Sunday we studied the book of Ezekiel. The Lord can heal the iniquities of the land in one day. Amen? Do not forget what we read. The Lord is able to clean, to wash, and to heal the land from its iniquities in one day. But what do you mean by bear the iniquity of the holy things? How can iniquities can be present in the holy things in the first place? If it is holy thing, what do you talk about iniquity? The Lord is holy. In him there is no darkness. The Lord is light.
there is no filthiness can be present in his, you know, in his sanctuary. But what do you mean by Aaron shall bear the iniquity of the holy things? It is talked there. It continues to say, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. Not any gift. Holy gifts. What is holy gift to you? What is holy gift to me? Whatever I do, whatever I speak, whatever I pray, whatever I think, whatever as a human being, as a creation of God, that I bring forth, if that bringing forth glorifies the name of the Lord, brings life to the people around you, do the right thing that is acceptable in the sight of the Lord, create a sound that the Lord can hear, He would say, it's my music. The copyright belongs to me. It's my music. If the Lord to say, the sound is mine, then the Lord has blessed you with a holy gift. It is not the instrument that you play. It is not the skills we demonstrate. The life, the fruit of the life, the fruit of our words. You go and hug a person and he feels comforted. You have the holy gift. When someone is speaking to you, all his problem and his struggles, you keep silence. And your silence, let him be free and let pour out everything. Your silence is the holy gift from the Lord. Ye shall know them by their fruit. If that fruit glorifies the name of the Lord, if that fruit is so tasty in the word of God, if that fruit is shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, ye shall know them by fruit. By whatever means you are able to bring it forth, the holy gift of the Lord is functioning in you. That is why the scripture says, children of God, you are all gifted. There is no way a child of God cannot be without gift. We are all gifted. But the problem is, what gift you are looking at? It is not the gift that the world celebrates you. It's not the gift that people accept or acknowledge. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But there is one gift. The Holy Ghost can say, why are you pleasing me? The holy gift. Salvation is the gift from the Lord. Then what gift it is? A normal gift? A premium gift? Holy gift. For us to have an opportunity to become holy. But are we holy? In our flesh, in our strength, in our might, in our everything that we possess, we are not holy. But when we embrace the scripture, when the Lord says, I am your possession, when you possess Him, when you embrace Him, then the process of making us to be holy, the perfection begins. It's not a one-time task. It's a process. Potter will not perform magic when he makes a vessel from clay. He will do in the hard way. He likes to work. He likes to work. We people, we always find hard shortcut, but you always take the longest route. 40 years of wilderness is the longest route. Why? He gave them time. As much as He can give them time, He gave them time. The Lord always takes the longest route. Always remember, if something you get in a very short span of time, be prepared to lose that thing in a short span of time. If you earn something in a long period of time, then you won't lose it in the short period of time. That is why the fruit of the Spirit is called long suffering, not short suffering. Not interim suffering, not instant suffering, long suffering. Because the Lord always deals things in a very stable way. He takes time to build the foundation. Slowly. We can say slowly. But the truth is, I don't want to use the word slowly. It's graciously. He designed everything graciously. Because the Lord is not a man to lie. The Lord is not a man to fail. The Lord is not, no, He has no weakness like what we have. To think, oh, I'm doing it slow. No, He's doing it graciously. He's doing it so wonderfully. So, when the scripture says, the bride decked with all the beautiful ornaments on to cover her body, to be prepared for the groom. Amen? Have you seen in all those beautiful marriages in different culture, they all come with different clothing because they have different cultural experiences. So, in marriage, the bride is decorated in different ways in different countries. When a child is born, if the child cannot walk, it's okay. You know the child cannot move here. When you place the child on a bed, she or he will be on the bed. So you can go and do all your works and come back, he will be there. She will be there. Because the child, the leg is not, you know, ready to run or walk. 2 years down the road, the terrible two, they will start moving. And you can't chase them. You can't catch them. They are faster than you. And they are stronger than you. And the way they demonstrate their energy, you will feel, I am weak. So when they start running, you can't catch them. But let's say you are a very busy mother or busy father doing some work in the house. You know, I have seen in different villages, different culture, they will tie something in the feet of the child, like a bell. So that if the child is sleeping, you are doing something, and the child gets up, starts running, at least you hear a sound. Oh, no, the child is released into its own freedom. You go and catch it. Or when a child is sleeping, mother is sleeping, the child, you know, stand and go walk around in the living room, at least you hear some noise. You know, I have seen it in my families, you know, even in different countries, you know, my friends told me. Because the child can do crazy things. If you are sleeping, very tired, you want to have some alarm that your child is on the move. When the Lord told Aaron, come inside, when the sound heard, that must be a sound, amen? If not, there is no hearing. When the Lord sits on the mount to give parables, if the Lord tells all the multitude, 5,000, welcome to the fellowship. Close your eyes. I will also close my eyes. I will make you to listen to what I am going to speak to you in your heart. So let's all be quiet. But there is no sound. Faith comes by hearing. The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. So what is that sound? Why the Lord is so particular about the sound? Which sound we are talking about here? When Nadab, Abihu, they offered some sacrifice, some burnt offering, some incense offering, whatever it is, in a way that the Lord did not ask them to do so, they are making some sound which was not supposed to make in the sanctuary of the Lord. Amen? And the Lord is talking about that sound. The disquietness of our heart, the unbelief of our heart, the jealousy, carnal, cunning, wicked imagination of our heart cannot be heard by anyone. But the Lord would say, so noisy. Why? Because the Lord can hear. When Lucifer thought that he would set his throne here, was he declaring his plans to his angels? He thought. The Lord said, I heard you. In the New Testament, Jesus said, if someone hates his brother, not in the declaration, in his heart, he killed him in his heart. Why the Lord says this? He's not joking. He's not trying to make you to feel the fear. The Lord had purposed things in his heart and he spoke. It came as it is. It happened as it is. If the Lord created you in his image and in his likeness, he would look at you as himself in the form of creation. He had purposed thought in his heart and he had spoken blessed thoughts, blessed words, blessed creation. But if we have the thoughts of hatred, anger, unbelief, pride, self-loathing, depression, overconfidence, extremely no confidence, whatever it is, the Lord would ask us, make a sound, a joyful sound. Make a sound, believe in me. You know, the prayer of Hannah was like a murmuring sound to Prophet Eli, correct? And he even thought she was drunk. She's not in a stable mind. But she couldn't utter. She was not crying with vehement of cry. She couldn't utter. She was so broken. But still, she was able to make a sound. She murmured in her heart, and the Lord heard her prayers. But to the Lord, it is a beautiful music. He heard her clearly. Sometimes we may speak so clearly, but the Lord would say, it's slow, so muffled. What happened? So it is not about what the flesh can demonstrate. It's all about whether it comes from the bottom of your heart. Do you really mean it? Do you really mean it? That's exactly what the Lord cares about. He don't care about anything. He cares about, do you mean when you say it? You know, when you're walking on the road, having some breakfast, when some brothers come, don't deny. We all do this mistake, you know. Sometimes we say, brother, yeah, the food is good. Everything is okay. Okay, God bless. We say God bless in a way, hi. Hey, God bless. But I want you all to think deeply. When you say God bless, you are calling the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, who sits on the heavenly throne, you tell him, God, the Lord says, yes, I'm hearing you. Bless my brother, bless my sister with her name in your heart. Do you mean it? Sometimes we say things in a shallow. God bless. God bless. I pray for you. In Jesus' name I pray for you. Do you mean it? Deep calleth from the deep. Sometimes we don't mean it. We are all at fault of that thing. Because we separate the Lord from our heart. We think church is church. A room to pray is room to pray. A gathering for fellowship is a gathering to fellowship. But the Lord would say, I am fellowshipping with you. If I'm in you, then you are the holy sanctuary of me. Then you are the temple of me. But because we are weak, because we commit sins, we commit transgressions, we do trespasses, we do this and that, because of the weakness of our flesh, you separate the Lord who wants to be in you. You put him in a place, in a shelf, in a locker, in a room that no one can enter. Then you go and meet him once in a while. Once in a week, I go and say, praise the Lord. Once in a Friday, once in a Wednesday, once on Sunday, I go and do, Lord, I'm here, how are you? Then he is out of the house. Because our flesh will always try to fool us. This is holy gift. This is not holy gift. This is sacrifice. This is not sacrifice. If you can understand your loved ones and adjust the way you speak to him, speak to her, you are a living sacrifice. At that very second, the Lord accepted the holy gift from you. When Peter said, repent and be baptized, when everybody hears, oh, what a blessing. You see? No. They heard, and the word of the Lord did the job, and they were all baptized. It was not a sugar-coated word. Repent is not a sugar-coated word. Repent is a word of truth. So, the Lord is so specific about the sound that comes from this music instrument, your life. You are the music instrument, but he is the musician. Imagine you are a drum, just sitting there, and the Lord comes with a stick, he will go and come and play drums with you. You are a flute, the Lord takes you and play flute. You are a guitar, the Lord takes you and play guitar. But you are an instrument, he is a musician. If you don't believe that, you won't even accept you are a vessel of God. That is the problem I'm trying to speak to all of us in the word of the Lord. Do not let your mind or your flesh to tell you that I'm a child of God, but I'm not a vessel of God. I'm a brother or sister in Christ, but I'm not a servant of God. I'm not a priest of God. You may think, no, brother, I don't think that way. Are you? We all have this confusion when we are tempted, tested, broken, thrown into valleys. Because the Lord wants us to see our confusion. Then he wants us to tell him, Doctor, I have this sickness in my body. Can you remove it? The great physician, he will heal. Then he asks us, what is that you want? Amen? What is that you want? We can't say, Lord, let thy will be done. Do you know what is his will? We can't say, Lord, you know my heart. You just get things done. The Lord says, what is that you want? Make a sound, Aaron. Make a sound. Make a sound. Let me hear you. So now, he goeth in, goeth out. Upon his heart, he bore the judgment. It is not for everyone, correct? You can see how the Lord separates him. It's not for everyone. Not everyone can say, oh, I have the breastplate and I bear the judgment of the people of this land, that land. No. The Lord has layers. But there is a common layer. Amen? The Lord has layers. Because the Lord has a specific, unique, beautiful, divine plan for every one of us. That is why we are part of the wood, not the same part. Different branches, but same vine. So now, let's continue to read verse 38. There is a reason, the Lord says, and it shall be always upon his forehead. Now you remember, before the Lord continually, amen? Always means continually. When Jesus said to the disciples, watch and pray always, don't sleep. Okay, if you say, oh, the Lord told me not to sleep, I'm going to take tablets to stay awake for as long as I can, then I'll die. No, what the Lord means. When this land is receiving the sunlight in a day, there is another land, they are in the night, they are sleeping. And when you sleep, they are awake. The children of God, whether you know or not, whether you believe or not, every single second, some vessel of God keeps the flame beautiful, shining, brighter, stronger, mightier for Him to see the earth. And you say, I'll wait. I will fulfill my promise. Because someone is reminding me, the four beasts in the presence of the Lord, in the heavenly places, they bow down and they fell to the ground and say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Whole earth is filled with His glory. They are not saying, oh, today is Wednesday, let's say two times. Friday, let's say three times. No. Continually, without rest, they are doing this. Why? The scripture says, they do this day and night. Why? The Lord wants to be reminded. His children, His promise, His word, His love, His grace and His mercy. No man can remind Him. Only the vessel that is filled with the Spirit can remind Him. Because it's a reconciliation. It's a resonation. It's a reflection. Amen? Like an echo. Like an echo. The word of the Lord goes and comes back to Him. So now, if the children of the Lord, they do the same thing on earth. Because the scripture says, as it is in heaven, also on the earth. Amen? Whatever happens on heaven, the Lord can do the same on earth. Whatever the Lord do in the realm of angels, He says, I will send my angels to watch over you. How many of you believe that? People would say, it's dramatic, but still I will sing because it is in the book of Psalms. But do you believe that? So, the Lord of Lords, who sits in the throne, the earth is His footstool, He wants us to believe that He can do anything and He will do anything, but He will remain righteous. Amen? He will remain righteous. You have to receive Aaron in our heart. You have to receive David in your heart. Because God is in them. We have to receive Moses in our heart. Because God is in him. We have to receive the brother who sits next to you on your left, on your right, in your heart. Because God is in them. There is no difference. His way of dealing with his seed is not crooked. It is straight line. There is no higher or lower. There is always the balance of the Lord. Now, it says, and it shall be always upon his forehead, for what? That they may be accepted before the Lord. So the Lord justified, I am doing all of this, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Joshua, Eleazar, are you all hearing me? I am doing all of this so that I may accept you. So that I may accept. The Lord says, let me accept you. Amen. He says, let me save you. Let me strengthen you. Let me wash you. Let me heal you. He says, do this. I will do it for you. When the scripture says that they may be accepted, not they must be accepted, not they will be accepted, they may be accepted. The word may is the gap between us and the Lord. May the Lord bless us if what we do is according to His will. Sometimes you are in our flesh. We are not saying things that is pleasing to the Lord. Because we are not perfect yet. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord deliver us. Because the Lord can say, I don't want to deliver you. Just suffer for some more time. Because I have planned something greater than your deliverance right now. So, may the Lord. The Lord says, may be accepted. Because some of you would not obey what I say. Nadab, Abihu, they are not accepted. The Lord was not lying. He is not lying. He can't lie. So, the way the Lord speaks, the way the Lord utters the word, we can learn from the fountain of life. Now we read verse, iniquity of the holy things that we covered in verse 38 and 39. Now let's read verse 40. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. Amen. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them. Look at the sequence. Anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. But before this, there was a clothing. Amen. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Why? blessedness, nakedness. Thou shalt make linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in into unto the tabernacle of the congregation. The tabernacle of the congregation. I will explain why the Lord says the tabernacle of the congregation. He did not say my tabernacle. The congregation decides if the tabernacle belongs to the Lord. If not, like what Peter said, let's make a tabernacle for Moses. Let's make a tabernacle for Elias. The Lord would say, speak. Tabernacle is for whom? Tabernacle is for the Lord to dwell. Amen? But the Lord says, it's a tabernacle of the congregation. Why? The congregation can decide whether you are a congregation of the Lord or the congregation of the man. If you are a congregation of the man, then that tabernacle is a tabernacle of that man, not of the Lord. You decide. But the Lord says, you decide. That I may accept. If you decide that that tabernacle is mine, then he can say the church of firstborn is mine. Now he says, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity, shall die. Can you see the difference? Aaron, upon his forehead, he bare the iniquity of the holy things. Things the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. But now it says that they shall not bear the iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and the seed after him. Seed after him. Seed by seed after him. Forever. Now, we heard the word anointing. Let's read the next chapter. Brother Clement, read for us from verse 1 to verse 9. I want all of us to remember, so far you have not heard the word Joshua. There is a very beautiful reason. You don't hear the word Joshua so far, right? In all this, whatever we are meditating now. We only heard the name Aaron and his sons and the sons. The name of Joshua was not uttered yet. Amen? Please read from verse 29, chapter 29, from verse 1 to 9, brother.
And this is what you shall do to them, to hallow them for ministering to me as priests.
Hallow them. Amen.
Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. And you shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his son you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water.
Amen.
Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird them with the intricately woven band of the ephod. You shall put the turban on his head, and put the holy crown on the turban.
Holy crown, amen.
And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. You shall gird them with sashes, Aaron's and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron's and his sons.
Amen. Wash them with water. Verse 4. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle and unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and shall wash them with water and thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat. Amen? Washing, cleaning, or cleansing, then thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of ephod, and the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon the head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. Water, oil, between the water washing and the oil anointing, in between, the garments changed. Amen? The coat was put upon Aaron. Everything was given to him. Now, let's take it from the way the Lord uttered the words. He gave the command, going in, sound should shun much hair, and upon the heart he will bear the judgment, upon the forehead he will bear the iniquity of the holy things. The children of Israel shall hallow in their holy gifts. And you will bring Aaron and the sons near the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. Water. Then the garments are changed. Then Moses is the one to anoint Aaron. Amen. The Lord told Moses, my servant, my Moses, my dear Moses, anoint Aaron and his sons. Anoint. But there is only one anointing. The anointing of the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus Christ, the anointed one. So, when the Lord says, Moses, you anoint, the Lord says, I will anoint them in you, through you, for me. So, he says, the anointing oil and pour it upon his head. Not just sprinkle, pour it so that it goes down on his head and anoint him. And the same for the sons also, right? Now, let's think very carefully, who brought the oil? Moses anointed Aaron with the anointing oil. Praise the Lord. But who brought the oil? Who brought the oil? Was it Moses or was it Aaron himself? Oh, my brother Moses, I heard you are going to anoint me. I brought my own oil. Was it Moses? Last Sunday, we read those verses, how the Lord called some names from the congregation of the Lord and anointed them, chose them, and gave them specific tasks to do what He wants them to do. Turn your scriptures to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Please read from verse 6 to verse 11, brother. Exodus chapter 31, verse 6 to verse 11.
And I, indeed, I have appointed with him Ahiolib, the son of Ashimash, of the tribe of Dan, and have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the tables and its utensils, the pure gold lampstands and all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, and the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his son, the minister as priest, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do.
Amen. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. Imagine if Noah is standing there. According all you have commanded me, I shall do. But for Moses, according what all I have commanded you, they shall do. Not Moses. Because the Lord is doing everything for who? For the children of Israel. And He wanted them to be the ones who received the blessing. He wanted them to be the ones to put the work. He wanted them to be the ones, the builders of this building. He wanted them to be the ones to prepare everything. So they have every single bit and pieces of that making of what the Lord is doing. Because the anointing oil that Moses is going to use, it was brought by Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. Verse 6. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom. And the Lord says, I will put my spirit within you. The Lord says, I have put my wisdom in the wise-hearted. So what is wisdom? Is there wisdom other than the Spirit of the Lord? The knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of God is the beginning of the knowledge and wisdom. It stays the same throughout. So, all those priests of God, they must embrace reverence and honor to the presence of the Lord. with the fear of God in all their life, then everything comes to manifestation. Now, what he says is, verse 7 says, the tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is thereupon and the furniture of the tabernacle and the table and its furniture and the pure candlestick with all his furniture and the altar of the incense and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture and the laver and his foot and the clothes of service and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest office and the anointing oil. Did you see any mismatch in sequence? No. It's inch precise. Because the Lord will do all things in a sequence. For us, it is called sequence, but for him, it's a perfect will. We are bound to see the manifestation because we are bound to grace period. But for him, he do in a way, in the way of the Lord. But you can see the pattern. He never, ever jumped the gun. He has a sequence. Step by step. Step by step. And he says, a sweet incense for the holy place. Sweet incense. The Lord says, I want to hear some sweet music. Aaron, are you coming inside? I want to hear, let me hear some sweet music. Sing to the Lord with gladness. Amen? Can I sing to the Lord with doubts and confusion? I can't sing, no matter how beautifully I can sing. The Lord can't hear me. Sing unto the Lord with gladness, with joy and with confidence. And according to all that I have commanded thee, they shall do. It's so beautiful, right? Moses, for the children of Israel did everything what Moses' life will also to accomplish. And Moses did everything what children of Israel will accomplish, will fulfill. Hand in hand, one another, one for one another. Aaron, thy brother Moses, O children of Israel, whatever I commanded Moses, you shall do. Why? Because he is doing everything for you. Aaron will do everything for you. So you shall do. The Lord called all of us my husbandry. We are the fellow builders, fellow workers of him. Amen? Because the Lord says, come, let's do what I do. That's why, if he is a shepherd, we are the sheep. If he is a lion of Judah, we are the lions. We change the way he changed, but he is the same. But he heals, delivers, redeems, strengthens, chastens in so many ways. So we go with him. The river can take left and right turn any time. But the ark of bulrush cannot say, I think this way. No, ark of bulrush will follow the river. Because ark of bulrush, even if it thinks I should go to the right side, you have nothing to row. You are ark of bulrush. Just float. Let the river takes you. Amen? The ark of Noah has nothing to steer. Float. Believe, trust and obey. Float. The ocean will take you. The river water current will take you. Now, this is what the anointing oil, every single thing the Lord asks from the people, it's all prepared by people. And Moses took it and anointed Aaron. So, you may think the Lord made Aaron the high priest. Not entirely true. The Lord did everything for the children of Israel. The sheep gives the name to Jesus, the shepherd. If the Lord sits on a rock with a staff in his hand, shepherd's staff, there is no sheep. You won't call him shepherd because there is no sheep. You would call him a good Samaritan man sitting on the rock with a staff or rod, maybe for protection, or maybe he has some knee pain, he will use it to walk. But if the same man sitting on the rock, surrounded by thousands of sheep, you would say, good shepherd. Amen? Who gave the name shepherd? Thee. Who gave the name Redeemer? We. Why? We are in captivity. He must redeem us. Because of that, he became Redeemer. We were lost. He must save us. Because of that, he became Savior. Who brought the oil? Who brought the reason? Who brought the root cause? You and me. We. Part of the word. All his name. He said, okay, I'm a great provider. If there is no children of Israel, whom he will provide? Do you see? The names of the Lord that we are revealed to. We are the ones who gave that name because we are the needy people. He is a healer because we came for sick. If everybody says, Lord, we are sheep, then there is no need of singing, song, sermon, no. If you don't even understand that I need perfection, if there is no desire, then we are the waterproof raincoat jacket walking in the rain. Rain is so beautiful, but not even a single drop touch your body. We can be oil in the water, or water in the oil. The Lord would say, you think I'm a water, surprise, I'm the anointing oil. Oh Lord, I will be always anointing oil. Oh, you think I'm anointing oil, surprise, I'll become the water. He changed. He will do whatever He wants. He is not in the earthquake. He is not in the storm. He is not in what you think He will be. The only way you can discern the work of the Lord is by the fruit of that work. Outcome decides in whom, in what the Lord manifested Himself. Outcome, fruit of it. The fruit is the reason we can't understand sometimes the righteousness of God. Maybe misunderstood for anger. Maybe misunderstood for destruction. But He will show you and He will prove all of us wrong. I did this for this fruit. When you see the fruit, the life of that fruit is mightier, beautiful, gracious, merciful, filled with love than the destruction He brought in the first place. Because He's all about the goal. The process may be different. Squeezing, molding, hitting the sword with all the, every strong weapon. Might feel very, very, unpleasing. Imagine there is a beautiful ship, we are all traveling. And the sails are broken, ship is broken, water is leaking. The Lord says, I'm the engineer here, it will take 6 months for me to repair the ship. That 6 months, if we think, boring, I want to go this way and take a sudden break and just turn right, then just go and enjoy the breeze. If we don't rejoice in restoration, how would you rejoice in redemption? Because the Lord would say, I am the Lord of restoration, I am the Lord of redemption. If I can't enjoy the Lord in my valley, how can I enjoy the Lord in my mountain? The truth is, the mountain is your Lord. The Lord is not your mountain. You understand what I'm saying? If you love the Lord for the top of the mountain, the top of the mountain is your Lord. Not the Lord. He is the Lord in the valley, the Lord in the mountain. He is the Lord in the restoration, repairing, rebuilding. He is the same Lord who brings revival. There is no revival if there is a restoration. There must be a restoration. That is exactly what the Lord is doing with the people of Israel. He is setting order to restore the house of God, the house of Israel. And He is cleaning the priest, washing with water, changing their garment, and anointing them with the oil. Now, we just read anointing oil was brought by people. Let's turn your scripture to chapter 29. I want us to read from verse 35 to 44, brother. Verse 35 to 44. Chapter 29, verse 35 to 44. Amen.
Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons, according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them, and you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. You shall cleanse the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy.
Amen.
Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar. 2 lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. 1 lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the 1 lamb shall be 1/10 of an ephah of flour, mixed with 1/4 of hin of pressed oil.
Amen.
And 1/4 of a hin of wine as drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, you shall offer it with the grain offering and the drink offering.
Amen.
As in the morning, for a sweet aroma,
sweet
offering
aroma
made by fire to the Lord.
Amen.
This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you.
Amen.
And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests.
Amen. Amen. How wonderful the words of the Lord is. Verse 42. Verse 42. Chapter 29, verse 42. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where Aaron and the sons were washed at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. I had purposed all things for a reason, for a cause. The Lord says, I have not purposed anything without a cause. Amen? Both the words are same. Now, what is the cause? The Lord says, Aaron, you shall bear the iniquities of the holy things upon your forehead. Then he said, that I may accept them. Reason, a cause, why? A fruit, why? And what is the fruit? Accepting people. Does it speak life? Amen. Does it shine light? Amen. Does it sound saving? Amen. Now the Lord says, after doing all of this, he says, I will meet you for what? To speak. To speak. I will meet you to speak there unto thee. Let's say your family friend, your loved one is hosting a family gathering, or your loved one is suffering, whatever it is. Because for us, joy or sorrow, the Lord is here, everywhere. So you go and to comfort your loved ones. Let's say someone is suffering. And you go and partake with the joy and the rejoice with the gathering. Let's say a child is born in a house. You go to both the gatherings. You go and you shall meet your loved one. And you sit in the chair for 2 hours. And that loud one is looking at your face. Are you going to say something to me? You came to my house. And we say, we just, you know, like maintain deeper silence. And the loud one would be thinking, are you going to greet me? Or are you going to, you know, comfort me? Because there is joy, there is sorrow, two different use cases, two different scenarios. In both the scenarios, what the Lord tells the children, I will meet you. He didn't stop there. What he said, I will speak with you there, not somewhere outside, not somewhere where you decide. You do what I say, you do exactly what I say, I shall meet you and I will speak with you. What Joseph said when he died, when he was 110 years old, Genesis, last chapter, last verse, God will surely visit you. Then what is visitation, my brethren? The Lord simply comes and look at us and go, that is not a visitation. No. According to the Lord, when he say, I visit you, he will meet you, call you by name, and he will speak to you. If we don't desire for that, then we don't understand. What do you mean by surely the Lord will visit you? Isn't he being so faithful to what he promised to all the forefathers? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of them. He's so faithful. And he will maintain his faithfulness throughout generation. It is we who always betray him, forsake him. He tells the people, I will meet you and speak you. But he tells this to the priest first. Look at the sequence. He tells this to the priest because they are washed, anointed, consecrated. They are clothed. And he tells them, I will meet you and speak with you there. Now, look at the next verse. And there, again there, my brethren, if you truly want to meet the Lord, if you truly want to listen to the Lord, you should go there. There is a there. There is a place called there. Like how we say, I am. He will say, I will meet you there. Address, Lord. Address. What is the address? I will come. But where is the address? Then we say, oh, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, that is the address. The address is your journey. You are walking with the Lord humbly. You are traveling.
your wilderness is your address. Imagine 40 years of wilderness is one single address. And the Lord says, I dwell with you. He led the people of Israel by pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. Then what is the address? The address, the holy portion of the land, was moving. People were carrying what the Lord told them to do. They were carrying what the Lord promised them to deliver. They were carrying the Ark of Testimony. Wherever the Lord dwell, you know, descend to show His Shekinah glory, the Lord reminds the people, it's not that destination where I met you. It's not this particular church, a particular place, or particular servant through whom I bless you. It is me, the holy portion of the land, a moving land, a walking Bible. It is me. The Lord wants us to be very careful. You cannot put Him into a box. You cannot expect Him to do the same thing again and again in the same way. He won't do it. Read what the Lord did to His children. He will not do the same. He is the same, but He won't do the same. He will repeat in a way according to the grace and manifestation of His revelation. Now, when the Lord says, I will meet you there, on Aaron and the sons, you know, all the priests, they'll be so glad. Hey, children of Israel, see? Told you, the Lord will meet us. Not just there, the Lord will speak to us. Then the Lord continues. And there, I will meet with the children of Israel. Now the Lord would tell Aaron and priests, hello, I did all of this to you to meet my children. What are you talking about? The service of the Lord cannot serve the Lord alone, because the Lord is not alone. The Lord will never be alone. That is over. I am who I am. He said, I don't want Adam to be alone. He's telling all of us, I did not want to be alone. I want to be with my children. The same way, I don't want my son Adam to be alone. I know what does it do to me. Loneliness. He made fellowship as a sign of His agape love. If agape love has a shape, it's a fellowship of God's saints. It's a fellowship of God's children who gather irrespective of all their differences, all their opinions, all their shortcomings, all their weaknesses. They come and rejoice and sing songs unto the Lord. And the Lord says, see, I told you, agape love overcomes all, surpass all. Then you understand the peace of God surpass all understanding that will rule your heart through Christ Jesus. You can't separate peace from love. You can't separate love from grace. You can't separate grace from mercy. He is all in all. Now, when the Lord says, I will meet with the children of Israel, the priests of God, the tabernacle, the congregation, the miracles of the Lord, everything. The Lord says, I will do anything for my children. The ones whom the Lord used to serve the children, they are also His children. The ones who are being served, they are also His servants. Do you hear me? We are all servants, we are all children. We are all strong in Him, we are all weak without Him. We are all alive in Him, we are all dead without Him. All. I pray that we all embrace the truth. You are breathing because of God's children. It's true. Yes, you can say, no. I am breathing because of God. And God would say, I am in the midst of my children. So you are breathing because of God's children. You are breathing for God's children. You are created for God's children. You are created in God's children because the Lord created you in Him, for Him, through Him, by Him. For what? For His children. The ministry of the Lord is for the children. The church of God is for the children. Now the question is, who are those children? If you think that we are the ones, you are wrong. If I think, that's it, I am wrong. The children of God is beyond your little hands. They are in His mighty hands. There are children in this land. There are servants in this land. There are pastors, ministers, apostles in the land. The Lord knows. They are all in some cave. They are all hiding because of some Jezebel. They don't know. They are hiding in some cave. The Lord would feed them. At the appointed time of life, He will say, come and follow me. They will take off all their clothing. They will put a new clothing. They will come and serve the Lord whom, what the world has never seen before. Because the Lord would do things the world has never seen before. Because His mercy is new. He will do beautiful new miracles. And Apostle Paul said, I will show you in excellence way. What excellence way? For me this is fine. No. If you call me, I am your exceedingly great reward. I want to show you things in an excellence way. Lord, how it will be? Thou knowest not. So, thou knowest not is the mind of a man. The state of the mind of a man should be before he embraces the mind of Christ who knows all. For us, I know who holds my tomorrow. Amen. Now, today by God's grace, the Lord also blessed me with a beautiful definition of what is the meaning of Amen. Yes, we can say, verily, verily, I say unto you, Amen. Amen, saith the Lord, because certainly so. But there is another beautiful description, a definition in the book, in the Old Testament. Let's continue, verse 45. Clement read until verse 44, so I'm going to read from verse 45 and 46. Because the Lord is teaching us, I am the tree of life and I will bring forth fruit. So He had purpose some thought and that thought becomes action. Look at the verse 45. It says, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. Now you see, tabernacle of the congregation. The congregation of the children of Israel. In order for that congregation to become the congregation of the Lord must walk in the midst of us. The Lord must dwell in the midst of us. Then we can say, congregation of the Lord. Amen? Now you see how the Lord pronounces, because He is the teacher who teaches all of us how to speak. It says Aaron for the congregation of children of Israel. Correct? It says tabernacle of the congregation. It was not mentioned congregation of the Lord. But the Lord says, if you do all of this, I will meet you and speak with you. The priest of God, yay, we are so special. And the Lord says, no, you are not special. I am special. The Lord says, I am doing all of this for the children of Israel. I will meet you there. In order for me to meet you, I am going through my vessels. The Lord says, I look down and look for a man to stand in the gap. So, sometimes you will be the vessel through whom God meets some children. But be prepared. You will become that children and the Lord will meet you through some other vessel at the same time. We are all being pruned, washed, encouraged, edified, chastened at the same time. Higher ground where the Lord takes His children, everyone has to be perfected. No one is out of God's perfection. Amen? Now, look at this verse. The Lord says, I will dwell among the children of Israel. After what? After He meets them at the door of the tabernacle, after He speaks with them, He speaks with them by what? Through Moses, through Aaron, and through actions. The Lord was also speaking to the people of Israel by how? He did not send them water. He saw them answering Him. He said, the Lord among us or not? He was speaking to them by actions, by sending them enemies, by shaking the ground. He speaks through actions. He's a drill master. Verse 46. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Now you understand. We may think, Lord, Goshen is a good land. My father Jacob brought me there. We like the environment. We like the street. We like these small buildings. You know, we are bound to these buildings. Lord, can you please stay here? That is the golden calf. Anything that makes you to love a place, a house, a thing from this world is an idol worship. The Lord would never let us to be complacent in the same state. He would make us to be uncomfortable and throw it in a dry, thirsty land. So, the Lord says here, I took them from Egypt for what? Because I don't want to dwell in the midst of them in Egypt. I wanted to make a land for them on their own. So, He says very clearly, I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. I took them out that I may dwell. We have to understand why the Lord delivered you from your Egypt. Why the Lord redeemed you from your captivity? Why? The Lord says that I may dwell in you. Not in the church. You are the church. Lord says, you are the moving church, the moving tabernacle, the moving ark, the floating ark of bulrush. My life is in you. My world is in you. Just live it. So now when the Lord says, I redeemed you from Israel, the people of Israel, they thought, we were about to die. The Lord saved us. Now I will live healthily, happily until 85 years old, 90 years old, 95 or 100 years old. You may have some targets. Then I'll die. But the Lord says, no, I didn't save you because of that. I saved you that I may dwell in you. David, can you build a sanctuary for me? David, can you build a temple for me? That is exactly what the Lord is telling the people of Israel now. Because the kingdom of Israel is not formed yet. Amen? So now, chapter 32, please. Chapter 32. Let's read chapter 31. I want us to look at the beautiful event that came after the Lord finished some work. Chapter 31, let's read from verse 12 to 18. Chapter 31, from verse 12 to 18.
And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant.
Amen.
It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
Amen.
And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God.
With the finger of God. Amen. Now, chapter 31, it presents a beautiful, interesting situation of the Lord completes something, saying something, and the Lord gives something, but the Lord also does something, all at once. So, let's go deeper. Verse 12 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, amen. In the previous chapter, chapter 29, we read from verse 42, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee, and there I will meet with the children of Israel. Amen. So the Lord says, I will meet you and speak with you. And now the Lord is speaking to Moses. What he tells Moses, he says, speak thou also unto the children of Israel. Amen. Because God told Moses, I'll put all my words in your mouth, and you will put those words in the mouth of Aaron. Amen. Because Aaron is the priest. But now the Lord says, you speak unto the children of Israel, because he told them, I will meet you there. Verily, my Sabbath shall ye shall keep, for it is a sign between you, me and you, throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that sanctify you. So who sanctified? The priest. The Lord himself. Amen. A sign between you and me. Remember the same word God told Noah, I will set this rainbow between heaven and earth on the clouds, and it shall be a sign between you and me, a covenant. Amen. Now the Lord says Sabbath is a covenant between you and me, a sign. And he says in verse 15, please, 6 days may the work be done, but in the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall be surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout the generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, And on the seventh day, he rested, was refreshed. Amen? The previous chapter, how many days Moses consecrated Aaron and his son? 7 days. Amen? 7 days. Chapter 28. Consecration, 7 days. Now the Lord says, 6 days he created, seventh day he rested, refreshed. And he, after he spoke all of that, verse 18, it introduces, the Lord gave the two tablets of stone to Moses. After when? After he completes whatever that we are reading so far. Aaron's garment, anointing oil, everything the Lord is commanding them, he spoke all of this. Then the Lord gave two tablets of stone. But you know what? Those two tablets of stone that the Lord gave the first time, was it accepted or declared to the children of Israel? No. Even before Moses read, it was broken. Because Moses was angry and he threw the tablets down. It hit the rock, it was broken. Correct? Now, until chapter 31, the preparation of Aaron and his sons is presented. Correct? Remember the verse, the horse is prepared for the battle, but the safety is of the Lord. The victory is from the Lord. Amen? You can see something very similar, a beautiful example here. Immediately after all this done, the very next chapter is what? It's a golden calf incident. Chapter 32 is an incident that shook the people of Israel in the wilderness. When the Lord spoke all of this, you do this, you know, everything is okay, Moses, I will speak with you. He spoke all the promises. He uttered the words. He promised that he will do. After that, he gave two tablets of stone. Then he told Moses, just go down. Some noise is there. So now, I want to read very specific verses because we know the story. We have covered this in some other sermon sometime back. But let's be focused on the events. Verse 21 to verse 25. Chapter 32. Now, golden calf incident is going on. I pray that we all put our attention on Aaron now. Why? So far, we have been meditating on Aaron. What happened to him? Chapter 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. We have covered what happened to Aaron. You know, in a way the Lord wants us to learn. Now 32, there is a battleground. There is an opportunity to exercise something. Verse 21. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Who is telling all of this? Moses is telling Aaron. Imagine Aaron, I was in the wilderness. The Lord called me to come and meet you. I hugged you. I kissed you. Then from then until now, so many things were spoken about me. Changing garments, breastplate of Urim and Thummim, to bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon my heart, and the iniquities of the holy things upon my forehead, that I must bear all of this continually before the Lord. And Moses said, Aaron, what you did this to these people, you brought a great sin upon them. Imagine what Aaron would think. What? I brought great sin upon them. What's the response Aaron gave? Remember the sermon where we meditated on, thou knowest not, I know, Lord, I don't know, Lord. Remember, look at the second verse. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. Aaron is speaking to Moses. Moses, thy brother. Aaron, thy brother. Aaron responds to Moses, my Lord, don't get angry. Thou knowest the people, they were set on mischief. Then what is the next verse? For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not that what is become of him. They are judging Moses, telling Aaron, we don't know what happened to him. He is not the same when we left Egypt. So just make us gods. We can't wait anymore. Make us gods. But I want all of us to think deeply from the heart of Aaron, because he must bear the judgment of children of Israel upon his heart, not just on his garment. The breastplate is a sign, it's a representation. But Aaron, even if he's naked, the garment is still with him. That is the holy garments of the Lord. Holy priest, your life is broken. You are struggling, but still you are beautifully clothed in the sight of the Lord, in performing the duties of a servant of God. And Aaron must bear the judgment of people upon his heart. Remember, heart. And the forehead, he must bear the iniquity of the holy things. He can go in, go out, that he may die not. The Lord has given all the instructions. Remember, instruction. But if you believe, it's a promise. Correct? The Lord can say, my child, don't go to right. It's an instruction. If you believe, trust and obey, and don't go to right, but go the way the Lord wants you to go, it becomes a promise. Correct? Because you will receive something the Lord has planned for you. But if you tell the Lord, tell me why. I need an answer. Just tell me why. Convince me. Who convinced who? Instructions were given. No question asked. Aaron obeyed. Amen? Now, this attitude was very crucial. When the Lord burned his two sons, he told Moses, Moses, come here. No, I burned the two sons of Aaron. Just go and tell him, peace be unto him. And Moses went and told Aaron, peace be unto you, my brother. And the scripture says, Aaron held his peace. The lame who was healed, he held Peter and John. You hold unto things that are anointed by the Spirit of God, because you are called to hold on to the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. You hold, you don't drop. If you drop, we are naked. The fine linen breeches, the Lord said, clothe them with a coat that they won't be naked in my presence. Amen. The belief, the joy, the confidence, assurance that we have in him will make us to be clothed all the time, no matter how weak we are. Now, look at the reaction of Aaron, because he was left all alone. Moses was on the mountain rejoicing with the Lord's presence, soaking in the cloud. And he comes down and scolding Aaron. And Aaron says this. Verse 24. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold. You know what? This word, whosoever, is the most, I would say, missed out word when we meditate on the incident of golden calf. Because before Moses called the people, whosoever on the Lord's side, come this side, Aaron already separated them by telling them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast into the fire, and there came out this calf. Moses would be listening. There was a burning bush, there was a fire, and there came out the voice. Now there came out a golden calf. Because this time Aaron used the gold of the people, whosoever wanted to see many gods, some other god, and he put their work, their gold, their offering, their tithing, their whatever they want to give, and he threw them into a fire, and that fire brought forth a golden calf. Some through the waters, some through the fire. Amen? Are we forced through fire? The sword of the Lord, the servant, the vessel, the children of God, he will forge us through fire. For what? To see who you really are. The Lord saw Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was so excited, puffed up. The scripture says, the Lord took his hands off. The Lord left him for a while. For what? To see what it is really in his heart. Hezekiah became full of pride. Correct? But how it happened, the Lord left him for a while. Because he can hold you. You will feel you are a good person. The Lord will say, why he is so excited? Let me take my hands off. Then you will see who you are. Now, the gold from the people, Aaron invited whosoever in your own will. If you really want to do this, do this. So, he threw it in the fire. And that brought a golden calf. Correct? On Calvary, when all the iniquities are laid upon Jesus, by whom? By those people who killed Jesus? No. When the scripture says Aaron shall bear the iniquities of the holy things upon his forehead, when the Lord was also carrying the crown of thorns to point out to shame, amen? To see who we are. Not the holy crown. A crown of thorns. And all the iniquities were laid upon him. By who? After Stephen was stoned to death, all the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death, they laid their garments at the feet of Saul, who gave the instruction, correct? It's also a reminder to Saul, Saul, you are part of this sin. You are part of this murder. You are partaking this with us. We just executed what you said. You are witnessing. You didn't stop us. All the false prophets, all those so-called servants, ministers, who wants to deceive people, make money by killing them, throwing stones of false doctrines, poisonous encouragement, do this. Oh, woman, woman, get married. Man, man, get married. Jesus is a little idol of worship. Kiss him. Do this and that. All those people who commit their sin, they would lay their filthy garment at the feet of the one who instructed them. We have to be very careful. The Lord will do all things in the same way. The iniquities are laid upon Jesus Christ, by who? You can never say by those filthy, evil rulers. Us, our iniquities were laid upon him. Beyond time, he did something that saved all of us. And the comfort is given to all of us. Every time someone does something against the Lord, the iniquities was laid upon him. What do you mean? Burdens are lifted unto Calvary. What do you mean by that? Psalm, in the book of Psalm, when David sings the song, create in me a clean heart, we sing, create in me. Oh, we sing, we're so joyful. But how David might have sung the song? He would have crying, broken, Lord, I did this, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. He was crying. Because of what he did, it's a song of repentance. But it can also be a song of joyful dance, celebration, but don't even receive what the song really wants us to receive. The king of Israel sang the song in a broken state for what he did against God. Correct? Because he knows what happened to Saul. The Lord gave him a new heart. Saul dropped it. And David is asking for the same thing. Create in me in a clean heart in me, Lord. Pure heart in me, Lord. Now, the Lord who bare all our iniquities, all our sins, all our shame, he bare all this, endured all of this on the cross, on Calvary, for the joy that was set before him. He had purposed all the thoughts for the action that he's going to fulfill for the joy of his children. Amen? Now, Aaron, he's telling them, and when Moses saw that people were naked, look at the description, you know, that goes with the line. It says, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. What? We thought Aaron was an ally, like a servant. People were able to overpower him and just they make him like a slave to do this what they wanted. The scripture says, Aaron made them naked. Who? The Lord who called, anointed, consecrated, sanctified the priest for the children of Israel, the Lord who wanted to clothe them with the garment that he specifically told Moses to make. And that priest, the scripture says, he made the people naked by letting them get what they wanted. If the Lord really wants all of us to get what we truly want, we would suffer and we would commit sins and we would destroy everything that is around us and we would betray him. When the Lord don't give us something, believe it is for your good. Don't fight for it. Don't defend yourself. Don't fight for it. Not worth it. John the Baptist was thinking, I'm in the prison. You put me in the prison. Do you know who is my cousin? Where is Jesus Christ? Oh, one day, 2 days, maybe he forgot. Let me send a reminder. Oh, he's not coming here. Should I be offended? The Lord says, blessed is he who is not offended in me. John the Baptist, I'm not coming to see you. I will send my word. And he said, are you the one or we are waiting for someone? For that flesh to come out, the Lord put him in the prison. Perfection, pruning, cleaning. The Lord has not done anything in your life that does not benefit you. If you think, oh, I suffered for all these years because someone did this to me, then what about the Holy One? What about the Mighty One? What about the King of Kings, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob? What about the King of Israel? Never let any man or any man to profane his name in your life. I don't want anyone to say, I have gone through all of this because of someone. No. The Lord says, I am your someone. What do you mean? Are you cursing me? Do you have the audacity to go and curse the Lord? No one can have dominion over your life. Only Him. All power and dominion given unto Him alone. It's a lie that you failed, you suffered, you offended, you were hurt by someone. I'm telling you, from the word of the Lord, it's a lie. You are lying to yourself, you are lying to others. There is God whom we serve, who is above all. If you truly believe, He watches over you. If you truly believe, He controls you. If you truly believe, He is all in your life. Salvation is now. Change is now. Repentance is now. Return to home is now. Don't tell yourself, I will wait for the Lord to lead me. He is leading you now. Come out. He is all about now. He don't need a buffer period because He is God of heaven, great God of Almighty. We must understand the Lord is telling all of us, today is the day. Because you may not see another day in your life. It's a reality we must go through every single day, no matter how healthy you are. I am not sorry, you are not sorry, no one is sorry about speaking the truth. We may not see another day. May the Lord bless us. Not only to Him, He holds me tomorrow. If you want to make peace with someone, do it now. Not tomorrow. If you want to say someone, I love you, do it now. Not tomorrow. If you want to make peace, make amends with someone, do it today, not tomorrow. Because greater is He who is in you. You don't need any other reason. Because the garment, the book of Revelation presents, the garment, book of Exodus presents, it is you, part of you. You are the righteous works of the Lord. Amen? Now look at what Aaron said. Unto the shame among their enemies, not to anyone, among their enemies. Now, in this event, verse 35, and the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. What? You plagued the people, okay, because of the calf, okay, which Aaron made. Aaron, Lord, I made what they did. It's okay, bear the iniquity, man. Remember the drill. Bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon the heart. Bear the iniquity of the holy things upon your forehead. Take accountability. Tell them, you did this. They are not any separate. They are not any different. We are part of Him. We are always part of Him. We are in Him. He and she. Everybody is in you. Because God is in you. So Aaron, Moses, and there is one character here, Joshua. Correct? I want to read a few verses before we close the sermon today. In the same chapter, read verse 17. Chapter 32, verse 17. And then Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted. Noise of the people as they shouted. Sound of Aaron walking in, going out. Sound heard. That is for Aaron. That is for the holy place. That is for the Lord to hear. But now God is speaking to Moses face to face on the top of the mountain. And the scripture said, Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting. And he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he is speaking to Moses. Because the Lord put him there for discernment and to speak what he's supposed to speak. Because he was there observing. Amen? There was a role given to Joshua. That is why we are going to meditate deeply on Aaron, the high priest, Joshua, the high priest. Zechariah presents Joshua, the high priest. The same way the filthy garments were removed, new garments were put on for Aaron, it happened to Joshua as well in the vision. Amen? And our Joshua, Yeshua, our Savior, he also had gone through the same. Now you see, he said there is a noise of war in the camp. What do you mean by war? Every time we do something against the righteousness of God, we invite the Lord for a battle. It's a war against Him. His righteousness cannot be challenged. We may think, why the Lord allowed the prince of the land to have power over every country, right? There are prince of the land who defends, who fight for the wickedness to spread. The Lord allowed wickedness to have prince of the land everywhere. And every prince of the land are challenged by the children of God who are planted to bloom in that land. Amen? Every land, there is one who is like a chief captain of that army who wants to throw arrows into the city. But every land, there is also a wall, there is also a tabernacle, for that arrow should not land on that land, on the city. For the people who pray for the land and for the city. Amen? Now you read this. It says, and he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Joshua, you said war. You just said war. He said a noise of a war in the camp. Then he interprets, deeply unfolds to Moses. It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Whenever we sing unto something, it's a noise. That is like a war against the Lord's goodness in our life. Amen? And that's all he said to Moses, correct? And Moses heard that, he went down, he did something, cleansed the camp. But verse 35 said, the Lord plagued the people of Israel for the golden calf, yes, yes, which Aaron made. Which Aaron made. Not the people made, which Aaron made. Now, let's understand why Joshua was kind of hidden in some places and called from some places in a very unique way. Turn your scriptures to chapter 17. Just take a few minutes. Chapter 17. Because the title of today's sermon is the anointing of the priest. Amen? Anointing of the priest of the Lord. And the Lord said, I have a step-by-step process how I deal with my children. Wash them, anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them, clothe them, lead them, and most importantly, He will throw you into a battleground after you do that. How many of you experienced deeper, stronger storm after you baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? All of us. There would have been some shaking, some problems, some sickness that really tormented your life after you accept Christ. Why? The world would never be happy to see someone is leaving their wolf pack. Why is becoming a sheep? Remain as a wolf. You would be shaken. You would be persecuted. It's a sign that everything is working for good. So now, the battleground is where the Lord makes us to be strong. It's a valley. It was truly a valley for Aaron. And truly a valley for Joshua and all the people around. For them to overcome the situation of golden calves. Because the Lord can consume all of them. But He spoke all the words before. He gave everyone the umbrella before He sent the storm. Correct? That is why He is called the great provider. But what we ask, the provision we should ask from the Lord is for the promises of the Lord to be with us, to be fulfilled for His glory. Now, chapter 17, I want to read few verses as we close today. And let's meditate throughout the week. Amen. Chapter 17, we will read from verse 1 to 7. When you read this, I want you all to remember yourself. Because scripture is personal. Amen. We see ourselves. Every time you open the Bible, it's a mirror. You reflect your life into that. John the Baptist is a good example of what happened to him. Same for all of us. Same for Prophet Elijah. He was also very scared when Jezebel was chasing him. John the Baptist was offended when he was thrown into the prison. We do this in our life. Amen? Now, read this verse from that perspective. Verse 1. And all the congregation of children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. What? Wilderness of Sin. We said, Lord, can you just change the name to desert? No. Wilderness of Sin. So 40 years of wilderness of sin. After the journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Then how come the scripture can come to do? The Lord said, children of God, lack nothing in the wilderness. Unless what you are expecting from Him. Are you expecting from Him water, health, perfect cycle, perfect life that rotates every morning? You are not disturbed. Your ship is sailing smooth. Then when something shakes, you would say, the Lord is not providing me. Just because there was no water, the Lord who sent manna from heaven, the Lord who led them with pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, the Lord who divided the sea, the Lord who destroyed the armies of Pharaoh, the Lord who did this and that the mind cannot comprehend, people got angry because there was no water. They thought they will die. Therefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Therefore do ye tempt the Lord. But how can you tempt the Lord? It means you do not kindle the anger of the Lord. Do not provoke the Lord. Do not provoke Him. And the people thirsted therefore water. That is where the Lord throws us into thirsty land. Dry, thirsty land. Because He wants you to feel the hunger and the thirst for His presence, for His word, for His fellowship, for His prayers. Amen? That doesn't mean that we are not provided. We are provided all the time. Why? Because He spoke. That's it. Don't check around. You are beautifully, completely provided. You are not lack of anything. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt? But the Lord told clearly, I took you out of Egypt that I may dwell in the midst of you. But the people are expecting something different. Sweet water, fully nutritious, mineral water, good meat, good honey. To kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst, the Lord would be thinking, anyway I'm going to kill some of you. Are you prophesying to me? The Lord destroyed disobedience wherever He sees. Not the flesh and blood, but He destroyed disobedience. Why? Disobedience is a war against the Lord's righteousness. It's a rebellion. Now, what Moses, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people, that they be almost ready to stone me? Now you know when Aaron told Moses, thou knowest, thy people are set on mischief. Then Moses, tell me about it. Correct? He had been through a lot. He was almost stoned to death. He himself told the Lord. He can't exaggerate. He told the Lord, they look like as if they will stone me to death. Stephen, would you tell me? Tell me about it. Every time the Lord speaks, you would see the singularity in Scripture, irrespective of which chapter you are meditating. That is why we say you are the same. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now the question is, why the Lord did not give them understanding to tell them, it's okay to thirst, I am your water of life. He did not give them understanding. Why? They were not in a state of receiving His understanding. He wanted them to be alive, so He gave them water. Now you know the Lord who saved you, gracious, the Lord who saved you, merciful, He did the same to all of us. In the beginning of your walk with the Lord, you asked Him for job, health, some peace at home. The Lord did not ignore that. He knows that we need all of that. The Father in heaven, He wants to be happy. Amen? So He gave that water. He smote some rock. Someone prayed for you. The Lord gave you. But our life does not stop there. We should reach the point where the Samaritan woman, or the woman who met the Lord at the well, Jacob's well, when the Lord himself said, "Can you give me water?" The Lord repeated, right? "I'm thirsty. Can you give me water?" People of Israel, "Moses, we are thirsty. Can you give us water?" Did they ask like that? Look at the tone. Look at the request. Jesus Christ asked the woman, "Can you give me water?" People of Israel asked the Moses, "Are you going to kill us? You took us from Egypt to kill us here? Is there Lord among us or not?" Look at the tone. Now do you see the sound that whereby you goeth in, whereby you goeth out? What is the sound? Does your life speak life in a right tone? Do we have the good communication? We can have evil communication, you know. We can use the word of the Lord, but the Lord would say, "Why are you speaking evil? Lord, I'm speaking Bible." The Lord would say, "Adversary, do the same thing. Don't fool me." So now, good communication. So now, "Behold, I will stand before thee." The Lord told Moses, "I will stand before you." Then the Lord told Moses, "You stand before me." Correct? Before the Lord consecrated, sanctified, anointed Aaron, he said, "Stand before me at the door of the tabernacle." Moses knows, yes, the Lord stood before me in Horeb. Now, you look at what happens here. "And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" He did not name the place because the Lord gave them water. Because Moses knows the Lord can do anything. You don't need a place to glorify the name of the Lord. You need a people to glorify the name of the Lord. But that people, they profane the name of the Lord. So Moses gave a very bad name. Oh, this name, whenever you see the name, you remember, people of Israel, they forgot the goodness of God in their lives. He didn't name the place as the place where the Lord gave water. You could see the way the servant named the places. By that you can know the Lord intervened himself or the Lord was provoked. Now, what is quite interesting here is, after this, the Lord sent Amalekites. Same battleground. Aaron, Moses went to Mount, and Aaron was thrown into the battleground of golden calf. And now, the children of Israel was complaining about water. Now, the Lord threw the entire children of Israel into the battleground. He sent Amalekites. Do not think the enemies came by themselves. The scripture says, the strength of your life is tested in the day of adversity. The Lord says, "I am the one who raised the adversity." Surprise! He is the one who sent adversity. Not anyone. He is the one who gives approval to what happened in your life. Believe him. Now, Amalekites came. I will skip here. We know the story. Joshua was told by Moses to choose out men. Moses did not choose the men, my brethren. The scripture says, you see, Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek." Moses told Joshua, "I am the leader of Israel. The Lord told me to judge the people of Israel. But you do this, you take full responsibility, full accountability, you choose the men and go for the war. I'll go to pray." Moses, Aaron, heard, they went to pray. And the Lord delivered Joshua and the people of Israel from Amalekites. That's okay. But look at the verse. Verse 13, "And Joshua discomfited Amalekites and his people with the edge of the sword." Which side of the edge? Not only to him, the double-edged sword. "And for the Lord said unto Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in a book.'" Aaron, you bear the judgment of the people of Israel before me continually as a memorial. Whatever that you carry on your chest is a memorial before me. And the Lord told Moses, "Write this as a memorial." These words. What he said after that. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua.'" Why? Joshua went for the battle. The Lord gave him victory, but the victory is not of him. Horse prepared for the battle, but the victory is of the Lord. But the Lord granted victory not just because of Joshua, not just because of Moses, not just because of Aaron and Hur, because he loves his children. He granted the victory. So, no flesh can boast glory in any at any time. And also, we should remember the goodness of God as we sang song today. Our sister sang a beautiful song. Lord, remind me, Lord. Rehearse unto my ears. Speak to me, Lord. The Lord says, I will speak to you. Follow the drill, man. Come, I'll meet you, then I'll speak to you. Now, this rehearsal, why? For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalekites from under heaven. That is exactly what will happen in the book of Revelation. The Lord will destroy all the wickedness, all the flesh, death, sorrow, sickness, weeping. He will burn everything. That there is no remembrance, because vanity is not real, it won't be remembered as if it never existed in the first place. Amen? Now, in closing, after this, one verse, chapter 24, verse 13. Chapter 24, verse 13. One verse as I close. Chapter 24, verse 13. So we are coming from 17 to 24. Because after that is when God gave instruction to Moses for the tabernacle, altar, incense, anointing oil, garments, everything. But what happened before that? Chapter 24, verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, the 70 of the elders, should be 72, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet. What? They saw God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a pale work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. What? Also they saw God. The Lord said, I will meet you there. And they did eat and drink. What did they eat? What did they drink? The same people who were complaining that there was no water. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me. What? Come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee the tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. The Lord talked about the tables of testimony before chapter 32. And before chapter 31, he finished saying that. In chapter 24, he told Moses, come, I will give you the tables of testimony. We are 8 chapters behind. And the Lord said, and he said, I will teach you. Right? The Lord was teaching them from chapter 25 to 32. He was teaching them what to do, how to do, inch by inch metrics. Look at verse 13. And Moses rose up. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua. Hey, what happened to Aaron, Nadab, Abihu? Because verse 1 says they went up. But verse 13 says Moses arose and he, his minister Joshua, Moses went up into the Mount of God. Amen? Into the Mount of God. There is another place where Joshua's name was so explicitly, beautifully mentioned. Let's all stand as we close. Let's all read the verse together as I pray and close. Let's all stand. Chapter 33 as we close. Chapter 33. This is after the golden calf incident. Amen? Chapter 33, verse 11. Chapter 33, verse 11. Let's all read this together. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. The bride must remain young and beautiful. Amen? And we must depart not from the tabernacle. Amen? Because we must be clothed by the word. We are called the word bride. We cannot depart from what was given to us. Because you are the tabernacle. What we read here? Yeshua departed not the tabernacle of him who is nothing but his seeds, his children, his bride, his servants, his friends. And the high priest Joshua did not depart from the tabernacle which was designed, made for the Lord to descend. May the Lord bless us. That he continues to keep us in his anointing, that we are called to serve him. Amen. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. The Spirit of the Lord is our glory. May you touch us, Lord. Walk in the midst of us, Lord. Bless us, Lord. May you teach us how to glorify your name by yielding, by submitting, by surrendering, by trusting and believing that you are the Lord who had dominion in all our lives. And we submit to you, Lord. We submit to your word. Thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful valleys where you taught us, for all the wonderful blessings and miracles where you made us. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren.